Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Judges chapter 13, verse 24 and verse 25. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Judges 16, verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, and one with his right hand and one with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all of his might, so that the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. This is our fifth message in the series, Flex. Turn to your neighbor and tell him faithfulness is where it's at. Tell your second choice neighbor, faithfulness is where it's at. You may be seated. I'm not going to do the long extended catch up that we have done the last four sessions because I need to get through some things because we're going to end this. I don't know if I've preached the end of this message. I preached it to Pastor Becky last week because I was disappointed that I didn't get to it because I got off on being sober and drinking, which we're going to get back to that here in just a little bit. So lace up your shoes, put on your big boy pants, knuckle up, and let's get ready. Preach the end of this message to Pastor Becky on my way home because I was disappointed I didn't get to it. I preached this message to Pastor Mandy. So this is my third time to preach it. And I'm glad all of you showed up because I don't know if they were kind of captive audiences when I preached it to them respectively. But a faith flex, and when we see that word flex, is the moment when God shows up with all of his power and authority and the miraculous happens, which we love. But faithfulness is every moment having access to and walking in God's presence, his power, his authority, and his love. Samson loved the faith flex. He loved those moments where God showed up with all of heaven and he killed 1,000 Philistines by swinging the jawbone of a donkey, ripped off the city gates and carried them hundreds of yards away, caught 300 foxes, tied and made 150 pairs of foxes, tying their tails together, lighting them on fire and sending them through the cornfields. Those are faith flexes, but one thing Samson was not good at is faithfulness. You say, how can you make that claim? Because faithfulness will keep you out of Delilah's bed. And Delilah was only one of three women that he had a problem with. And so, did he have faith? Yes, because you cannot do the things that he did. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And I want to encourage you, we should all desire the Spirit of the Lord to rest on us. We should all make it a prayer of our everyday life. God, I don't want to leave my house unless your Spirit rests on me. Why? Because there's some things out there that I'm going to need your Spirit to make up the difference when I can't get them done. But the Bible says that Samson didn't know when the Spirit left him. The Spirit only stays, for those of you taking notes, the Spirit only stays when you're faithful and not faith flexing. See, the problem with a great church like Living Way is you step in at 11 o'clock on Sunday and you step out of 12:30 on Sunday, and unless you've made a concerted effort to reach out and grab what God is doing and saying, yep, that's mine, I'm taking that to Luby's, I'm taking that to my house, I'm taking that to my job, I'm taking that to the courtroom this week. God, what you're doing, I want to be a part of, not just on Sundays and not just on Wednesdays. The great R.W. Shambach said, if you don't have any trouble, all you need is faith in God. Jesus would encourage his disciples with four words, have faith in God. Judges chapter 13, God was looking for a leader. The entire nation of Israel had turned their backs on God once again and had started worshiping idols and had started worshiping other things. And can I tell you that our predicament is not the world acting like the world. Our predicament is when the church acts like the world. Our predicament is not when the world wants to abort babies. Our predicament is when Christians don't see any problem with aborting babies. Our problem is not speaking in tongue on Sundays. It's burning sage on Mondays, looking at your horoscope on Tuesday, and calling 900 numbers on Thursday. It is time, church, for the church to be the church. That's not Living Way Church, it's the church universally. And upon this rock, that's Jesus Christ and his revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm giving you and me as believers the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That only happens when the church is the church. And you can only be the church when you are faithful. Living Way, going to church, and being the church are two entirely different things. See, most of the people in this room today, if you're coming to this kind of church and you see me walking around today, that's why they hate camera two. That's what he was implying. I'm gonna make you work, camera two. See, we've gotten so used to coming to church, but most of you, if you come to a church like Living Way, it is not because of the aesthetics of the building. It's not because it's the closest one to your house. The reason you are here today is because you've been other places where the Spirit of God did not move. You've been other places that had great singing and had great messages, but you didn't feel anything when you left. But when you come into this place, why? Because we are the church. We're not going to church. We're standing on the Word of God. We're declaring the Word of God. We are entertaining the presence of God. And all of that is birthed through faithfulness. Somebody say, have faith in God. God was looking for a leader, and he raises up Samson. The one thing that God is looking for is faithfulness. Verse 4 of Judges chapter 13, now therefore beware. There is a warning given here because faithfulness always requires a lot. See, you see Brother Jerome Shaw, and we'll celebrate him today as well, being the leader of our great usher team. He's done so now for 27 years, every Sunday, every Wednesday. You say, well, that's just a few hours a week. Nope, I've been here on Tuesday, and he's in here. Me and Mario were going over things for tomorrow night in this room, and I looked up in the middle of the day, and Brother Jerome is working, and he's moving around throughout the pews and doing things, and he's here. Why? Because faithfulness requires something from you. Can I just encourage you, and I don't want to cast stones at you, but you coming to church for 90 minutes a week does not shake heaven. It does not cause hell to tremble. What shakes heaven and what gives the devil a migraine is when you become the church and you become faithful to Jesus and you follow Jesus and you make waves and ripples outside of this room. He says, beware. Why? Because the price of faithfulness is a lot. But let me just encourage you, faith is so worth it. My family, my marriage, my money, my ministry, my everyday life would be void without faithfulness. Because if I can't be faithful to him, how am I going to be faithful to her? If I can't be faithful to him, how can you hold me accountable if I'm not being held accountable to God? Faith wakes me up. Faith puts me to sleep. Faith won't let me quit. When I wake up, there's a Jesus is sitting on the edge of my bed in the form of mercy that is fresh every morning. And Jesus said, I've been waiting on you to wake up. I've kept every evil thing at bay from your house. While you were slumbering and sleeping, I am the God who does not slumber and who does not sleep. While you were pushing up Z's, I was making a way where there is no way. While you were in dreamland and fantasy world, I was pushing back the enemy and scattering and making your way straight. Faithfulness. Not to flex, faithfulness. Not amening loud on Sunday and whispering Monday through Saturday, faithfulness. If anything, we should be louder out there than we are in here. He said, beware It will require much, but it is so worth it. He said, beware, I pray thee, and do not drink strong drink or eat any unclean thing. I got excited during last week's service when I started in on not drinking. And the Bible says to not be drunk. And then the Bible goes on in the very same chapter to say, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Anything, any reason that you use to drink and to actually, come on now, take alcohol into your body, anything that it does to you, the Holy Spirit is designed to do. You want a buzz? There's no greater buzz than the Holy Ghost. You want a high? You can't get high enough with those substances. But Jesus takes us to a place where we are in the palm of his hand. Happy hour? Oh, how about happy life? How about joy unspeakable? How about you don't use that as a crutch? How about you use him as your crutch? Something to lean on, something to lean into. You got your reason? I'll give you my reason. You've got your reason to do it? Well, I just socially do it. Why do you have to get buzzed to be any fun? Why does your demeanor have to have a little something extra to make you palatable to your friends? Can I tell you, when I get together with my people, we talk about Jesus. We talk about faith. We talk about what God has done. We share what God is doing. We talk about what we need God to do. Listen to last week's, because I don't want to go there again, because I'll stay there for the rest of today. Be sober. Be sober. He says, do not drink wine. Now, listen, as a leader here, he's not saying don't get drunk. He says don't drink. Why? Because a leader is making decisions, not just here, but everyone connected to the leader. So this is the thing that you have to understand. Your drunk might not be on alcohol. Your drunk might not be on weed. Your drunk might be on fame. You want people to know who you are. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. What he's saying is don't get drunk on you, get drunk on me. It's been a little while since we've had a Living Way service where people were, staggering up and down these aisles and being helped to the car. Can I remind all of my former GXers, when we used to have those youth services that were supposed to be 90 minutes long and ended up being 4 hours long, and parents are laying on the horn and we are carrying young people that are so drunk in the spirit to their car. You haven't been drunk until you've been Holy Ghost drunk. But I'm here to tell you, don't get drunk on the news. Don't get drunk on money. Don't get drunk on influence. Don't get drunk on fame. Don't get drunk on position. Don't get drunk on popularity. If you're going to drink something that has an effect, drink Jesus. He will cause you to never thirst again. If you're going to be faithful, it demands sobriety. It demands sobriety. I've never been drunk on alcohol. I've been drunk on a lot of other things. Leadership, faithfulness, demands sobriety. You know why I know that's true? I don't trust Brandon's sober decision. My name is Brandon, if you didn't catch that yet. I don't trust me on my best day to make a decision that is going to lead my wife, lead my two children, or lead a church, or lead a small group, or lead whatever it is. I don't trust me on a good day. So why would I want to consume things? Why would I want to scroll on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat for 2 or 3 hours a day trying to see how many likes I got, how many shares I got? That's drunk on something else.
So you can get off your high and mighty horse. Well, I don't drink and I don't smoke. Yeah, but you sure are drunk on everybody else's opinion. You're drunk on politics. You're drunk on Democrats. You're drunk on Republicans. Listen, I'm going to get drunk, but the only thing, if you ever carry me out of somewhere, it's going to be because the Holy Ghost has wrecked me.
Had a pastor call me. He doesn't pastor in this town, but he was in this town. He has a Macaroni Grill here in town. He said, you'll never guess who I just saw. He said, who'd you see? He said, I saw Pastor so-and-so. I said, oh, really? Did you say hi? He said, couldn't say hi. He said, why couldn't you say hi? He said, because he was so inebriated that they had to have two waiters help him to his car. And his wife drove him away. Every time I see that leader, I don't know if I can trust his decision. You say, well, that was an isolated incident. That's why every day matters, church. That's why every moment of faithfulness matters. That's why you can't afford to have a bad day and be married. You can't afford to have a bad month and have children. Why? Every day you've got to be on. If I fall, I better get up as quick as I can. But let me tell you something. The faithful don't fall as much as the flexing. I got that 17-year-old son that walks around my house. I got a video. It was my birthday last year, and we were on live on Instagram, and I said, here's Tyler, and he went to flex, and when he went to flex, when he went like that, he hit his hand, about broke his hand on the counter, and I said, that's what you get. See, that's what happens when you flex. When you flex, it's all about look at me. But faithfulness is all about look at God. Flexing is saying, look at what God is doing in me. Faithfulness is saying, it has nothing to do with me. Because guess what? If Brandon wasn't here, somebody else would be holding this mic. If Pastor Becky wasn't there, somebody else would be sitting behind that keyboard. We are nothing without Jesus. That's why when he said, follow me, I said, where do I sign up? And I don't care what anybody else is doing. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to live this way anymore. Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. And faithfulness is required to follow him. Number two, said, don't eat any unclean thing. Living a life of faithfulness demands that we consume. Consume here. We have to consume. It demands that we consume things that are holy. And see, some of you have been amening real hard because it wasn't what you're struggling with. But some of the things you're watching on Netflix are not helping your walk with God. Some of the things that you're listening to, and let me take off my pastor's hat and just tell you what I think. I think there's three types of music. I think there's Christian music. And if you like K-Love, I hope you like the same six songs over and over until you die. It's going to happen. Air One's a little better. I think they play the next 11 songs. It's great. But I encourage you to get an iPod, Apple Music, download Spotify, and get you a playlist that you add these songs and worship. But I'm going to encourage you that there's Christian music, there's secular music, and there's worldly music. See, like Journey, don't stop believing. Man, I can make that a Christian song. Man, I can worship with that. But when you're listening to F-bombs and you're degrading women, and if they were to treat the women in their life like they're listening to, you would lay the smack down on them like Ike Turner in 1978. Too far. What we consume robs us of faith or builds our faith. Let me tell you something. I've been to one movie in the last two or three years because of COVID, and because now you can get the screen so big at your house. And you don't have to worry about the knuckleheads talking and throwing candy and all the nonsense they do. But when Mandy and I were dating, we went and saw two or three movies a week. When we got married, Before we had kids, we still watched one or two a week. We'd go see movies we didn't even like just because we wanted to be out. We finally didn't have a curfew. Praise God. It was awesome. I was a pastor then. I'm a pastor now. Many times. I'll tell them myself. We're sitting there, and the first 10 minutes of that movie starts playing. Scene comes on that screen. They start dropping this word and this word and this word. And Mandy stands up. She's like, I'm not gonna sit here and watch this. She was 17. A maturity at 17 that some of us don't have at 37, 47, 57. And she said, I'm not going to stay here. And then she looked at me with condemnation. No, just kidding. She's like, I'm leaving. And I'm like, well, pick me up in an hour and a half. Are you coming? Sometimes I followed, sometimes I didn't. It's just transparency for you. It's something I struggle with. I'm a rock and roll guy. One of the greatest riffs and greatest music ever is AC/DC Highway to Hell. I remember downloading that song. Driving 70 miles an hour down Interstate 10. I'm on a highway to hell. The guy said, what? Is that where you're going? Because if you keep declaring it, you say, well, how did that happen? I consumed it. And what I consumed came out of me. That's why when you drop an F-bomb around me, don't apologize, because that's who you are. That's why when we catch you, a few years ago, I caught somebody from this church at a restaurant one night with somebody who wasn't their wife, and that wasn't her husband. You said, did you avoid them? Oh, I did not. I walked right up to their table. How you guys doing tonight? What else you do? I asked them about their spouses. Hey, how's he doing? Asked them about their kid. Oh, pastor, you shouldn't have done that. No, I'm a pastor. That's what I'm supposed to do. There are sheep that are trying to leave the pasture. This is where God has called them to be. I am a leader. I am accountable. That's why I've got to stay sober. So when you get drunk, you've got a designated deliverer that shows up and snatches you back. Woo! Designated deliverer. That's a good shirt. Y'all should put that on a shirt. What you consume, I don't even know their story. But I guarantee you, I know what music they listen to. I know what movies they watch. Come on now. I know what kind of friends they hang out with. First year of my marriage, I was hanging out with a good friend of mine. And he began to dump on his wife and tell me everything wrong with their marriage and everything that they were going through. And on my drive home alone that night, God said, you better be careful being around somebody who hates marriage that much. You better be careful being around somebody who despises the vow and the covenant that they made that much, because you are consuming all of that. And if you are not careful, you will do the same thing to your wife. And at 21 years of age, I was not faithful enough. I had to cut that friend off. I'm here to tell you, he's still married. He's prayed through. He's pastoring a church and doing great. But God said, you better get away from him. Why? Because Samson, you've been flexing, but I need faithfulness. I need you to still be married at 18 when your son is 17. I still need you to be married when you're leading that church that I've called you to lead. I've called you to be an example. What you consume. What you consume, you become. You are what you eat. Your boy doesn't eat a lot of salads. Actually, I do. I take it back. I love a good taco salad with queso and that big old tortilla. There's nothing like a bowl you can eat, praise God. You consume gossip? I got news for you gossipers. Ooh. Here's a good one. We always talk about the gossipers. There's some of you that don't gossip, but you like to sip the tea. You like to listen to the tea. Remember this. If they gossip to you, they're gossiping about you.
You ever felt like you didn't want to be the first one to leave the table after dinner? Because you know the moment you leave, they're going to be like, oh, did you see what they were wearing? And oh, I heard that her and her husband were going through such and such. And oh, their son did this. And I saw him on Snapchat and somebody sent me this and all that. If you are listening to it, you might as well be party to it. Gossip is when you are not part of the problem or solution, but you love to drink it. You love to eat it. You love to talk about it. You love to be a part of it. I am here to tell you, I only want to consume one thing, and that is Jesus Christ, His presence, His word, His glory. I want every day of my, I'm finding myself listening to less podcasts and more worship. Why? Because I am eating all of that up. Why? Because God has called me to a life of faithfulness, and the NWA is not going to lead me to faithfulness. Snoop Dogg and all his cohorts, Dr. Dre never did it for me. Alan Jackson, ooh, I went on two opposite ends of the spectrum there. Alan Jackson, George Strait never did it for me. AC/DC has never, but I am on a highway to heaven now. And to be on the highway to heaven, I'm going to have to live a life of faithfulness. It demands sobriety. It demands that we live a life that we consume, walk, talk, holy. Leviticus 10:10 says, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. I love what the book of Leviticus says here, because the book of Leviticus says it a lot nicer than me. Because the book of Leviticus doesn't pit sin versus holy. It pits holy versus common. See, there's a lot of good things that aren't God things. And sometimes it's not sin that robs you of your faithfulness. Sometimes it's the good thing. Taking your son to soccer is a good thing. Taking your daughter to ballet recitals is a good thing. Working a second or third shift to make sure that you can pay for those things is a good thing. But even good things can rob faithfulness. Even good things. I've never met a parent yet that says, I took my kid to church too much. I've never met a parent yet, come on church, that said I sent him to too many youth camps and youth conferences. I've never met a grandparent yet that said I spent too much on church clothes and I wish I didn't wake up every day dragging them on Sunday morning to church. But I've been alive long enough to hear every kind of parent and grandparent lament. I wish I had had them in church more. I wish I had had them on every Saturday night in God's presence. I wish I had had them on every Wednesday night when Pastor Manny and her team were pouring into our children. I want to encourage you today. It is your choice every day to not choose what is good, not choose what is common, not choose what is comfortable, but to choose Jesus Christ every single day. Verse 5, you will conceive a son and bear a son, and no razor shall come to his head. Ooh, I like that. I'm bald. For the child, you caught it or you don't care, either one. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the Philistines' hand. I'm going to preach something that's going to be heavy for about 2 minutes, and then we'll move past it. I'm almost out of time. One of the saddest footnotes to Samson's life in this prophecy is that Samson will do great things. He'll flex. Everyone will know his name. But the haunting text at the end of the prophecy, and he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You say, what's so bad about that? He didn't have faith to finish the job. He only had faith to begin and start the job. That's what I see so much in believers today. We make grandstands on Sunday morning, and there is nothing wrong with you coming to an altar and getting it right with God. But can I tell you, your Monday faith matters just as much as your Sunday faith. Wednesday evening is great, but your Friday night faithfulness is just as important. Every day saying, Jesus, I'm following you. I want to follow you. I want to go after you with everything that I can. And here we laud all of Samson's great flexing, but he began a job that faithfulness is the only thing that could complete.
So my question to you is this as we wrap this up. What have you started that you have not completed? What have you flexed about that you haven't walked out? What have you talked about that you haven't been about? See, I want to finish what God calls me to start. I want an exclamation point at the end of my life saying every vision that God gave Brandon, everything that God called him to do, he stood up to the plate in the face of adversity, in the face of calamity, in the face of all kinds of craziness in his world. He had moments where he might have been shaken a little bit, but he shook it off, and his faithfulness remained to finish the job. He said, no razor. Number three, you cannot cut your hair. That's the third of the Nazarite vow. Living a life of faithfulness demands that we obey things that do not make sense. That do not make sense. One of the main ingredients of obedience is submission. Are you submitted to Jesus Christ? Not submitted to a church. Joining a church, submitted to Christ, two different things. Praising on Sunday, submitted to Christ, two different things. Even strangers praise God when they win the lottery. Even straight up heathens that got track marks on their arms from 3 hours ago will pray to God for deliverance. Your prayer does not constitute submission to Jesus Christ. Submission to Jesus Christ is I will obey everything you say to do every day of my life. And if I fall short, thank you for the grace that allows me to dust myself off and start again. Say, what is submission? It's not submission until you do something that you do not understand or want to do. If Mario were to tell me right now, he said, hey, I'm going to force you to go to Fleming Steakhouse. I'm going to be like, bro, lead on. That's not submission. Why? Because I would go there without Mario. But if he came up at the end of the service and said, I'm going to force you to go to Mr. Gaddy's today. I'm like, bruh, I'd rather go in the pig pen with the prodigal and eat slop. I wasn't happy about Mr. Gaddy's before COVID. Now you think of all those grubby little hands and sneeze and snot, and I just ruined Mr. Gaddy's for you, didn't I? But if he invited me to go, and I wanted to be in his presence, I would have to submit to do something that I don't understand and do not want to do. Don't call it submission until God turns right and you turn right when you want to go left. That is submission. Coming to church even when it hurts, that is submission. A prayer life even when you want to binge watch Netflix, that is submission. Staying married to that person because God has a plan when it would be easier to bounce out, that is submission. Calling out to the name of Jesus and anointing your kids' beds and anointing their doorposts and anointing your kids when they're cussing you out, saying, I hate you and I can't wait till I'm 18 and you still love them and you still drag them to church. That is submission to Christ when it's not easy. And I don't want to do, and I don't want to do what he's called me to do. That is what we call the Nazarite vow. I'm out of time. Pastor Baker, if you'll come. We make vows for better or worse. Chris and Heather just made those vows a few weeks ago. Brian and Olivia are getting ready to make those vows in a few weeks for better or worse. Sickness or health, rich or poor, till death do us part. You make that vow to a person, be sure you make it to God. I say this with all sincerity. You should not make a vow to anyone until you've made a vow to God. And if you've already entered a marriage relationship, a job, a business relationship, you've got to pray through and see that through. But if you're on this side of marriage, if you're on this side of your job, if you're on this side of relationship issues, if you're on this side of money issues, make the vow to God first. And when you make the vow to God, every other vow becomes easier because, listen, I could break a vow to Mandy and I could make it make sense in my mind, but I can't break a vow to God. God is what woke me up this morning, saved me, and keeps me sane. And so when I make that vow to God, there's no way I can come out from under that because it's God that I'm faithful to. We'll skip over some of this because I want to get to this. We've been talking about the faith flex. That's going to be done in 90 seconds. I love preaching about faithful to to God, faithfulness to Christ. It costs a lot, but it's an easy decision because it's a yes or no. Because you're either faithful or you're not. You might faith flex, but you're either faithful or you're not. There is no 50% faith. You're either faithful or you're not. So I want to encourage you with this. God and the faithfulness that he requires when we follow Jesus. God is and was faithful first. God never, that was a good place to say amen. He never requires us to do something that he's not willing to do. God was faithful first. Take you back to the Red Sea real quick, the nation of Israel. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea in just one night. That's a miracle. That's a faith flex. That's God showcasing his best in that one night. 3.5 million Israelites leave Egypt. They get to their back is the army of Egypt. The front is the Red Sea. And God opens up the Red Sea and they cross over on dry land. But let me magnify this miracle for you. If they went on a narrow part of the Red Sea and they got side by side in a double file line, that line would stretch from here to Tallahassee, Florida, 800 miles. It would take them 35 days and 35 nights to cross the Red Sea. They did it in one. They have measured it out and set it the most narrow space for 3.5 million people that the Red Sea parted 3 miles. That's from here to 3009 in shirts. We're not talking about as wide as this section. We're talking about you couldn't see the Red Sea anymore. They weren't raking their hands on the Red Sea on this side and this side. They couldn't see it. That's a faith flex. We love God's faith flex. But can I tell you about his faithfulness? The greatest miracle outside of the resurrection, in my estimation, was Lazarus coming out of the grave until 2 weeks ago. The greatest miracle is not Lazarus. Outside of the resurrection, the greatest miracle was not God's faith flex in the Red Sea. It was God's faithfulness in the wilderness. For 40 years, they wandered with Moses, and it was the biggest miracle in the Bible, and we take it for granted because it's hard to see God's faithfulness in the wilderness and valley. God's people had to be fed every day for 40 years. To feed 3.5 million people, it is reported by the quartermaster general in the army that they would have had to have 1,500 tons, that's 3 million pounds of food, every day. It would take 2 freight trains, each a mile long, to feed that many people, and he did it every day for 40 days. I tried to do the math. My calculator broke. 40 years times 3.5 million, times 3 million. You talk about the Red Sea. I'm talking about the faithfulness of God for 40 years. And his faithfulness was when they were in the wilderness in a place they were never supposed to live. A person's water requirements is 19 liters a day. It is thought the Israelites would have needed 11 million gallons of water every day to just drink, wash themselves, and clean dishes. That would be the equivalent of a freight train of tank cars from here to Vancouver, Canada, 1,800 miles long. Remember, no lakes, only a few wells. How did they get 11 million gallons of water every day? God's faith. You're talking Red Sea. I'm talking food and drink. 40 years, 365 days a year. If that doesn't bless you, stand on your feet because this will. Today, you will take 20,000 breaths. Breathe in, breathe out. 20,000. That's 7.3 million breaths per year. Next week, I celebrate my 40th birthday, and I will have breathed 292 million times. Every time I breathe from this point on, faithfulness. God's faithfulness. You know what I love, church? And I know I'm over time, but it's worth it. You know what I love? God doesn't just give me breath Sundays from 11 to 12:30. When I'm mad at God, guess what still happens? When I don't understand God's plan, guess what I'm still doing?
when things are storming around me and life's not perfect, guess what I still have? When there's bad things going on in my body and cancer reports are coming to you and your family, guess what you're still doing? 292 million. Before you die, 500 million breaths. God's faithfulness every day of your life. Every day your heart beats 100,000 times. 35 million beats a year. 1.4 billion heartbeats this time next week for me at 40 years old. The average life has 2.5 billion heartbeats. What is that? The faithfulness of God. God, you want me to give you my life? Sure, because you've given me my life. Boom, boom, boom. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Not a problem. You gave me my breath, and every day. Well, I've got cancer, but you've got breath. Well, I've got cancer, but your heart's still beating. God is still providing. God is still making a way. I'm calling to those of you that are ready to go from faith flexing to faithfulness. It's your moment. We're almost out.